Well, I was outside the gate and there was this huge moose and it was lying down in the yard, and my dad was like, just go for it. Just run across the boardwalk and try to make it to the door. And I don't know, how old was I, like
You were about 11.
11. Okay, so I trusted my dad, so I ran across the yard like full speed, and then I looked over this moose and it just stood up and ran full speed right at me. And I don't know if it was like a bluff charge or whatever, but it either would have hit me or it would have gotten way closer than it did if it wasn't for the hawthorn bush that I ran into. So yeah, it kind of was charging towards me, and then it hit this spiky bush and kind of just stopped. And so I eventually made it to the house, but it was really scary. So yeah, that's what happened.
Well,
I was pretty mad at my dad after that. I was like, why'd you tell me to do that? Anyways.
yeah, and then the time before that the moose charged up the stairs of the very same stairs you ran up, while I was hugely pregnant with you. And actually, the moose had parked in the same spot, and I couldn't get to the car, and so I was stuck in the house for about 4 hours, and I was missing my day. And so I finally was getting a little bit uppity with the moose. I was like, okay, you need to shoot, kind of like, you need to get out of the way. And she just looked at me and she's just like, who do you think is boss? And she just ran up the steps and I dived into the door. Seriously, I was on the ground and her nose was up against the glass of the door. I mean, she was not going to have me telling her what to do, pregnant or not. One time I was off in the Gillette area doing some work, some music work with some people, and I had to get back to Moose, where my niece, your cousin Bonnie, was gonna be born any second, and I really wanted to make it back for this birth. And so and I was in my 1979 Volkswagen Rabbit, which had 210,000 miles on it. So when I was out in Gillette,
It's a lot.
that's a lot. And I was out in Gillette, and this was of course before cell phones, before MapQuest, before anything. It was anything. And it was about 20 degrees. It was about 30 degrees. It was in the winter. It was February. It was kind of warm. It was like 30 degrees. And I remember I was out running, and
So warm for Jackson.
yeah. And this cold front, this epic cold front, was moving in from Alaska, and it was all on the radio. Its temperature's going to drop, da di da. And I was out on this butte again, really, really open space, gorgeous though, Devil's Towers out there and stuff. And I looked up to the northwest, and sure enough, we saw this cold front. I mean, we saw it coming from,
You
I
mean,
don't
you could
know,
like actually
you
see
could
it?
see it. It was like.
Like
Like it was
snow
like James
and.
and the Giant Peach, that huge rhino that comes out of the sky. It was like that. It was really like dense air and like particulates or something. I don't know. It was
It
just
looked like snow coming in, or.
yeah. It looked a little bit like snow. So I was like, oh. And sure enough, in 12 hours, the temperature dropped from 30 to 50 below. It
Whoa.
was just like. Oh, yeah, and so
So
everything
you
was
couldn't even go outside,
canceled. You
really.
couldn't go outside. Everything was canceled, and they were like, "Well, you better get going home." I was like, "I gotta get back for this birth," So, got in my VW Rabbit. By this time, the temperature was it was now 60 below, and maybe not quite. It was 57 below, and it was
We can say
really
60 as a
epically,
factor.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And so I'm in my Rabbit, and I had like a sleeping bag and no cell phone, and I put duct tape over the air intake, just the
Oh,
because there was air coming in, and I had a hat, I had mittens. I was in this little car that was about to crap out anyway, and I ended up going down through the grasslands there, the Thunder Basin grasslands, to this little town called Wright, Wyoming, and this road that's not, you won't even find it on MapQuest. I mean, I was like, I gotta cut off this corner and go, to Casper and get back. And I remember driving through there. Nobody's out of their house, right?
No cars
Everybody's,
on the road.
no cars on the road. And it was 60 below, and my car was like, and I'm
Puff,
like,
puff, puff, puff,
if this car dies now, I don't, and there's no buildings anywhere. Yeah. It was way out, and just a couple of oil derricks.
So they probably would have, like, died if the car had broken
probably.
Down. Huh. That's good.
Yeah. No cell phone.
Good thing it didn't. Know,
it was a good thing it didn't. So I made it back for the birth, too.
Nice.
But it was pretty, extreme.
Yeah, I remember Dad telling me stories about it. It's so cold where, like, he would open up. I think one time this happened, he opened up his car door and it just broke off. Because it was so cold.
Could be a function of our cars.
I know your parents, obviously, they're my grandparents, but I don't really know that much about your grandparents, and I don't really know that much about what your parents were like when you were a kid, so you can tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I think both of my parents are 12th generation Bostonians, so my family literally started, my dad's family in particular, the McIntoshes were sort of indentured servants.
Nice.
And I guess the original guy came over in 1630-ish, and somehow it was had a 7-year indentured servant. You know how that works, where there's an indent, you're a prisoner, but you can work off your,
like, sharecropping kind of.
You do some work for it's typically 7 years, and then you can have your freedom. This was a system from Scotland, and somehow his guy that he was working for, like, either died or spaced out or something, but he got off after only 2 years of indentured servitude, which gave him a little edge.
You forgot how many years.
He forgot. Okay, go ahead. You've got to go. So the story is that he only had 2 years of indentured servitude, and then he started sort of the McIntosh clan of my origin.
Score.
And yeah, and so everybody's really rooted right there, and there's little pieces of ancestral DNA all over Boston and all over the Boston area for us, and then. And so my mother's family, the same thing, a slightly different version. And then all of their children, all three of us, ended up solidly rooted in the West. So it was kind of a giant change. And for them, the most Wyoming thing is when my dad, your grandfather, turned 80, they just decided, we're going out west.
Wait, really?
They sold everything lock, stock, and barrel and moved to Victor, where they
Why
are now.
Why would they do that?
Well, I think because we were all here, and you and Wilden and Alina, and, they just suddenly realized we weren't coming back anytime soon. And they said, okay, we're going out there. And they really love it here. And, don't have regrets. That's kind of remarkable to me. If it's similar to the way I feel about it, which is I love New England and I will always be historically a New Englander, but I don't have any regrets at all, I don't really miss it. So,
and how come, like, I know Grandpa's really into, like, his Scottish heritage and it's really important to him. So how long ago was that, like, when was our family in Scotland, like, how far back did that happen?
Well, 1630 was when, so
that's Grandpa's, great-grandparents or something like that?
Great, 12, however many.
12 from me or from Grandpa?
From Grandpa.
Wow.
So, it's sort of theoretical. The whole Scottish thing. Right. But it's fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you felt when you were in Scotland, but I remember we went to the McIntosh Lake and Castle. Do you remember? Oh, we had to crawl through this little thicket. Like, it was like one of those things in Scotland where there's like a sign about this big saying, you know, go there for the little monument. And so I was like, no. And you guys were just like, oh, Mom, do we really have to find this stupid, thing? I was like, no, we have to find it. So we're like, we literally crawled through this thicket and we like crawled over this fence and we got to this beautiful loch. This lake and this little McIntosh, plaque thing, and talked about the clan heads or whatever, and listed all these fancy people. And we stood in front of the thing for Dad to take a picture of us, the three of us, and I have this picture. And this huge rainbow just appeared right behind our heads. And there's a picture of it. Us by the monument. We didn't even know. And this, so I really have a very, I mean, I love it there.